Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's keep on walking by faith as we, let's sing that as we go into the scripture today. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to take one verse here to obtain our title for the message. And then we have a number of places to go in the scripture. This is one of these times where the Lord bothered me all night again. And it's good to be bothered by the Lord. Because it's really no bother. Amen. But I'm just saying he was all night long I would be waking up and I'd hear these words, the title of the message, which I'm not telling you yet, but you'll get it in a moment. But all night long, and so here we are. Let's see what happens with this. Before I even read a verse, however, I'd like to ask for the Lord's help, because I know very well, boy do I know it, that without Him we can do nothing. And I think we all need to come to that realization. We're helpless without Him. And we live in a crooked, perverse world. We need the guidance of God all the time. So, shall we call upon Him? Father in heaven, we are here today, humbly approaching Thy throne, O God, by Thy own invitation, for which we thank Thee. And I pray, Lord, now that Thou wouldst help us as we reach out to Thee, that as we open our Bibles, we'd also open our hearts. And I pray that by Thy Spirit, Thou wouldst come into this place. Take complete control, O God. We look for Thee, the God of miracles, the God of our salvation, the Shepherd of our souls. And I pray that Thou wouldst help us as we reach out to Thee. We know that Thou art here. We feel Thy presence. We can hear Thy voice resonating in our hearts. We enter these pages, O Lord, of Thy Word in faith. And I pray now that Thou wouldst speak to us from heaven. O God, that Thou wouldst lead and guide and direct us in Thy perfect way. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, and cast out, and made powerless in Thy holy presence. And let Thy presence abide with us always. And we ask now that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, and help us to respond, O Lord, in complete obedience unto Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Word of God tells us, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Of course, Eli was the priest in that temple. "And the word of the Lord was precious." Hear this now. "The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." No open vision. That's the title of our message today. No open vision. And as I begin to consider this, the Lord showed me the very condition of our church world today. And how true it is, once again, as it was back here, so it is right now, with all of the churches and the organizations and all that they're doing, there is no open vision. And I sought the Lord on this and I wondered, why is this? Why are people so dead wrong about so many things. And the reason is they have greatly departed from the Word of God, the true Word of God. If you pull away from the one true Word of God, you have no guidance. David said in the Psalms, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There is no other light. How wrong could people possibly be once they have departed from the Word of God? How many mistakes could they make? How far off center could they be? Would they deviate a little? Greatly? You know, we have an example in the Bible regarding this. But first, let's concentrate on these words again. No open vision? In other words, it was rare. It was a very rare thing to ever hear the Word of God. You didn't hear it much. You didn't hear it frequently. It just was not to be found. And occasionally, a prophet would speak. And usually when he or she did, if it was a prophetess, sometimes that was the case, it was often not heeded. And when I look at how corrupt this world is right now, this country, I believe that this is the most wicked nation on the face of the earth. The most overrated nation. The most lied to nation. Where people actually think they're free. And they think they have a democracy, which isn't any good anyway because that's a mob rule. But they don't even have that. The fact is, we have a communist socialist for a president right now. And everything that is happening, all this crumbling effect, all of this demonic nature that has overcome our country, is all because these are the very last days. And as it was back here, there was no open vision, and today there is no open vision. You do hear the Word of God here and there. Thank God for it. But it's very, very difficult to find. I get letters all the time. I get literally thousands of letters. And people often say, "Can you tell me where to go to church? I want to go to church somewhere." And I go there and there's Freemasons in there. Or they got other NIV, non-inspired version Bibles, and reverse vision, revised version, by all kinds of crazy things going on. Entertainment clubs and all this stuff. And we're hungry. I've had people write and say, "We're hungry. We want the Word of God." And one person said to me, "You know, I go to this church and I just can hardly stand to be there. Because, you know, they don't teach any of the gospel, really. It's just a big social club, but I have to go somewhere." Well, my advice to you is forget it. Right. It's like listening to Judas Iscariot. I mean, I wouldn't go to a place like that. If they don't have the right Bible, they're not going to help you. Get out of there and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Amen. Just let them see the back of your elbows and the back of your heels making it down the street. Amen. It just isn't worth the trouble. Why go and put grief on your soul? Here's some guy up there just babbling on about nothing and never really get the power of the blood, never win a spiritual battle, never accomplish anything. The world today, the church world, is big, it's large, it's magnanimous. There are cathedrals in it. There's religion everywhere. There's 1 billion Roman Catholics. They're very religious people. But they're dead wrong, and I mean dead wrong. And the reason you have all this error and all the celebration of pagan feasts and holidays, got another one coming up in spring, you know. And churches having Valentine parties for singles and all this nonsense is because they don't have the Word of God. You know, I was talking to this physician that I go to from time to time, and I told him, you know, I said, "One of the problems, doc," I said, "one of the," because, you know, we spend about 2 minutes talking about me, then we talk about the Lord for about 15 minutes. And I say, you know, one of the problems, Doc, is the idolatry in this world. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, the reason people make idols is it's that they're showing you when they make the idol that they don't know who God is. Amen. That's why they make idols. That's proof positive they don't know him. So if you look at all the idols all over in these churches and everywhere, they are advertising the fact that they don't know God. Kind of amazing, isn't it? You know, the when you look at all of this lack of vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me show you how far off a people can get once they lose the Word of God. We're going to go over to 2 Kings chapter 22, where there was a very, very young king who took the throne by the name of Josiah. We're going to do some reading here, and I'll do some preaching along with it. But in 2 Kings chapter 22, of course, Israel was up and down. Judah was up and down. Once in a while, they'd have a king that would do a few things right, but most of the time, it was worse. Every new king was worse than the first, than the previous, rather, just like our presidents. We thought we hit bottom with Bush. Now we're looking up to sea bottom. Anyway, here we have Josiah, and he was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old. But he was entitled to that throne by birth. So it says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adalah of Boscath. Anybody know her? Okay, anyway. You just look out there and say, oh, okay, yeah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Praise him. Amen. 8 years old, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. God can raise up 8-year-olds and make monkeys out of adults. Come on. I think of when Jesus was 12, you know, he went into the temple there and he was talking to the elders. He was talking to the scribes, the most learned, intelligent, well-versed men in Israel. And they couldn't answer his questions. And they marveled at his questions. And you know, it's kind of amazing because according to what I've been able to study, the law in Israel at that time, the rabbinical law was that if a child was under the age of 13, you could not speak to that child. If you were a scribe or elder or teacher, they were under their parents, you couldn't speak to them. But the law said, if you admitted that you didn't know who the father was, then you could speak to the child. If you couldn't find the father, if you didn't know the father, you could speak to the child. Here's Jesus, and they're speaking to him at age 12, admitting they didn't know his father. God can raise up such wisdom. Little did they know, and that 12-year-old boy was the creator of the universe. Amen. Sitting there with them, and they didn't recognize him. There was no open vision, but that was about to change. And so Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Praise God, straightforward. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, now he's 18 years old, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. The people brought offerings of silver, and it was there in the temple. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work. Praise God, the doers of the work. I always appreciate doers of the work. God said they should be paid, all right? That have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Praise the Lord, there wasn't a televangelist anywhere around. They didn't even have to count the money, really. Everybody was honest. What kind of a situation could there be where everybody would be honest? It would take the presence of God, right? And he was at work here. Watch what happens. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Here they're cleaning the temple, making repairs. And while they're cleaning, lo and behold, they found this thing that was lost, no doubt covered with dust. He picked it up and blew up a big cloud of dust off from it and opened it up, and it was Scripture. Lost Scripture. No open vision. These people didn't have the Word of God anymore. They had a temple. They went through all the motions, but no Word. They didn't even know what it was at first. Shaphan said, now he got this book and he read it. Hilkiah said, I found the book. Hey, look what I found in the temple. The Word of God. Of all things to find in the temple, the Word of God. Amen. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. This was something that they didn't know about anymore. They were so far removed from this book. It was foreign to them. Can you picture this? And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Why did 18-year-old King Josiah rip his garments when he heard the words of God? That's all he could do, is fall into a state of repentance. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azahiah the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. Now, he says, because we have not obeyed, he recognized all the mistakes that were made. What did this book do? It showed them how crooked and perverse they were. Once they saw the book, the light was on. And they saw how far off they were. Do you realize how far off and out of kilter the church world is today? Because they don't have the book. They've got facsimiles. They have decoys. They have false writings. NIV, NASB, Reverse Vision, Revised Version, whatever you want to call them. All these different books, they call them Bibles. They're not Bibles. They're not Bibles. God promised to preserve His Word intact. He kept that promise. You know, it's really something. People come in and I've talked to a lot of people. They said, yeah, I was saved after, you know, through the King James Bible, but then after that I realized that there's mistakes in there. I got to find something else. So you're saved by a book full of mistakes. Says who? I've heard people say the King James Bible contains the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. Well, then it's up to you to determine what part is and what part isn't, right? That puts you above the author, doesn't it? This book is bigger than all of us. And we got to keep the dust off from it and live by it, because then we'll never go astray. This church world is so far gone, they don't even recognize the Word of God anymore. And if somebody happens to read a verse that's from some perverted version, and their attention span is 30 seconds. Now, so Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah, went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harass. Anybody recognize any of them? Keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. See, that book contained judgment. What God intended, what God would do if they went astray and refused to repent. If enough time went by where they refused to repent, it was a book of consequences. So it says in verse 17, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender. Oh, that's the way it ought to be when we hear the word. And thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, God's saying, I'll show mercy unto you. You sought after me. Your heart was tender. You're reaching out. What does that tell me about God? If any of us will reach out to Him with a tender heart, with a believing heart, and humble ourselves and realize we are nothing but the dust of the earth, just sinners saved by the grace of God. That's all we are. And He is the Creator of all things. King of kings, Lord of lords, He fills the universe. The heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. Amen. And if we realize our place, he does hear us. Now, what happened? What did the king do? He heard these words. Now, he could have thought, well, okay, God's going to destroy it anyway, but he won't destroy me, so fine and dandy. Oh, no. God anointed him. He went to work for the Lord. 18-year-old king. 18! Boy, you know, when I look at this, I think this is what we need today. We don't need a man like Barack Obama standing up and allowing himself to be called greater than Jesus Christ. And they've done it. In a Belgian newspaper, they had a big article showing how Barack Obama is far greater than Jesus Christ. They are a dirty bunch. Absolutely. Now watch this. Here's what Josiah did. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. That book was the Pentateuch, as it's called. They stayed and listened to it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's a lot of reading, isn't it? He read it to them. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant.
Amen.
They all stood up. This was a revival. Amen. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth, watch this now, out of the temple of the Lord, out of the temple of the Lord, all the vessels that were made for Baal. Clean house.
Amen.
You know, if you went in some of these buildings, you'd have to haul out a lot of junk. All the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven, meaning the zodiac. That's what it means. The signs of the zodiac, astrology. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah. Do you see any similarities today? Seems like they always put these churches on a hill, don't they? Up in a high place, swinging incense. They still do it today? And in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. They worship everything up there except God. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem under the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder. It wasn't enough to burn it. He ground it to powder. And cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of Israel. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites.
Amen.
The place was full of queers. He went and broke down their houses.
Amen.
What do we have going on in our country today? They get preferential treatment. They have big parades, queer parades. homosexual parades, parading their sin. Bible says, Scripture says they declare their sin as Sodom. And over there in San Diego, they have that gay pride parade every year. And they always put the parade together and they started out on Normal Street. Normal Street. I'm telling you, God said here, and he put this on his heart, break down the houses of the Sodomites. You know, there's a hand-picked high government official, hand-picked by Barack Obama, put into office in the Commerce Department, and her name is Amanda Simpson. She used to be a man. She's a transsexual. They did surgery on her, and she dresses up like a woman and got big, bushy, blonde hair. And he hired her, gave her, appointed her to that position, and then said, I hope this opens the door for hundreds more. Transsexuals. Sodomites. What has become of our land? Where's the outrage?
Exactly. Amen.
I understand that David Letterman, I've never really watched his program, but I know about him, made some kind of a joke about it. And so all the big gay community all over the country is up in arms about David Letterman that he dare make a joke about this woman. There's where the outrage is, see? Where are the Christians? Hey, I don't want that, whatever it is, in office. Get her out of there. Get her out of the country. Send her into space. One-way ticket. We don't want her. Somebody that's a little bit of each, but not enough of neither. Come on. Well, break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. By the house of the Lord. They put the queers right by the house of God. Built them houses. We're doing the same thing in our land today. Where the women wove hangings for the grove. These were tapestries and hangings. See, in the grove, that's moon worship. Baal worship is sun worship. And the Wiccans today, the witches, they're everywhere out there. They believe that time is woven into a tapestry. And in the universe is a tapestry, and time is woven into that. In fact, that Paul Simon wrote a song one time, 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 What Will Become of Me? I don't remember the name of the song. Does anybody remember that? And he says, seasons change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. That's pure witchcraft. But anyway, these women that hung around, they're obviously lesbians because they were in the house of the queers. You know, people say, oh, you shouldn't judge. I think we better. The Bible says, judge righteous judgment. What I'm doing here is illegal by federal law. But I will tell you this. Jesus said, all you have to do is look at what they're doing. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And boy, there's a lot of fruits. You take that two different ways. Now they're worried about this big contest down in Australia there. They have that some kind of a race or something going on with boats. I don't know if you heard about that. A big celebration going on anyway. They're worried about all, because everybody gets involved physically with each other. It's like a handshake anymore, you know. And they don't know if they're going to have enough of the prophylactic devices to deal with it and so forth. So they're worried about AIDS, HIV being distributed. That's a big concern. That shouldn't even be a concern at all.
Right.
That AIDS virus was manufactured anyway by our government. And really what it is, it's the virus that changes fruits into vegetables, in case you're wondering. Anyway, aside from all of that, And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech.
Amen.
Human sacrifice in the fires. You might say, oh, they wouldn't do such a thing today. Well, today what they do is they abort the babies first and then burn them. I know this isn't pleasant, but it's reality. And down there, it's bad enough that Houston, Texas had to pick a lazy mayor. But now they're building what they call an abortion super center. 6 stories high, specializing in late-term abortion. I think there's going to be a few explosions down in Houston. Amen. I'm just saying, God is not going to put up with this much longer. I know that.
Amen.
Because I know Him, and I know what His book says. Boy, when it starts, it's going to come fast and hard. And this country's going to get the worst of it.
Oh, yes.
Verse 11 says, and He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. They had horses they gave to the sun god. He took them away at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. He was cleaning house, wasn't he? And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. He was ripping everything to shreds, this 18-year-old king. Why? What changed things? What made all this happen? He was going through the countryside, top side to bottom of it, and ripping all the idolatry out, destroying the images, wiping out idolatry entirely. What got that started? They found the book.
Amen.
The vision was now open. Their vision was open. And they saw what was wrong. You've got to have the book.
Amen.
Now, let's go over to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Thus, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And in this case, the summer fruit represented fruit that was the last of the fruit. The last of the harvest. Now I want this to strike home, because that's us. We are the children of God at the end of time. We're at the end of the world right now. The Lord will be coming soon. And here it's a basket of summer fruit that this vision that Amos sees. Now, the summer fruit was Fruit that was the last of the fruit, it was overripe. It bruised easily. There's something with people today, they don't take much for the most part. They bruise easily. We can't allow that to happen. No matter what anybody says about you, no matter how they kick you around, no matter how they disagree with you or hate you, don't let it bruise you.
Amen.
Just keep going. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. There goes Schofieldism right out the window. These people say that there's a latter-day nation of Israel and they are the people of God. Oh, no. No, no, no. God has one people, and they are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jew or Gentile, no matter what they are, who they are, you need Jesus Christ. I will not again pass by them anymore. The nation is done. And when did that happen? And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Remember when the temple was destroyed, how it was? Not even one stone left upon another. God said, I'm all done with that. The true temple is Jesus Christ. Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. And he made us lively stones in that temple, and habitation unto the Lord. As Stephen preached to a backslidden Israel in the last testimony ever given to them, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You got a temple yet, it's still there, but God doesn't live there anymore.
Right.
Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great? In other words, swindling, right? Make the quantity small and the price great. Sounds like our government. And falsifying the balances by deceit. Do you think there's any falsifying of balances going on? That's our whole system. Unjust weights and balances. That we may buy the poor for silver. Hey, they're buying something, aren't they? They buy the poor. Oh, we'll give you this entitlement and that entitlement. Just vote us in. Now they don't even have to worry about that because they got the voting so rigged up that it's all electronic. They can play with that any way they want to. But if they want to have the poor on their side, they buy them. We'll give you this free and that free, and we'll have bailout programs for you. Cash for clunkers. Cash for clunker appliances. Okay, we'll cash you out. And they don't have any trouble with cash, they just make more of it. Turn on the presses. Fill up the ink trays. Let it roll. It isn't money. They just keep making more, and everything that's out there already is worth less and less and less. That's what they do. Obama said, we'll spend our way out of this. That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. Yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. What are they selling to us? What are they giving us to eat? Junk. Tainted, polluted, poisoned junk. With a lot of sugar in it so it tastes good. Junk, that flavorful junk. They can add artificial flavor, artificial color to the junk, and people like it. And one out of every 100 children is autistic. And they fill up the hospitals. They build bigger and bigger, and they keep filling them up. Everybody's getting sick. Everybody's coming down with something. Arthritis, diabetes, breast cancer, prostate cancer. It's everywhere. Where did all this come from? They're selling the refuse of the wheat. And at premium prices. You know, I remember when I was at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, I had a good friend there, Dr. Hine, who was an anatomy professor. And it was kind of interesting because, and I don't, I love animals, so I hate animal experimentation. But they had an experiment they did with a substance called alloxin. And alloxin would shut down the pancreas of the rats. They do experimentation for diabetes and things. They would induce diabetes by putting alloxin in the food. And I was kind of surprised at the time to discover, when I checked this out, that when you use bleached flour, it's bleached with alloxin. So they put it right into flour to bleach the flour, and it shuts down the pancreas slowly and develops type 2 diabetes. There's all your buns at McDonald's and Hardee's and all these places, and all the white bread and all the bleached flour that's out there. Hey, this stuff is coming from somewhere. And since you don't want people to get Alzheimer's from aluminum cans, you coat it with BPAs. So they get other forms of cancer. And now the government's refusing to look again. They're overdue for the next study on BPAs. The first two, they said, shows that it's safe for any use. And those studies were done by the manufacturers of it. The refuse of the wheat. We can go on and on about this. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. God sees it. God remembers. It's coming. His wrath will be poured out. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. That's the judgment of God. When it hits, it's going to cover everything. I find it rather amazing. Yesterday, I was working on the newsletter. I had a stack of material, seriously, about 2 feet high that I had to go through. And I spent the entire day reading and studying and praying and reaching out to God and pouring through news articles. And I finally got it down where I'm ready to write. Got it reduced down to a stack about this high that I need to get in that newsletter. But one thing that I noticed as I was going through things is that recently, very recently, all of the sea lions in San Francisco left. They've been there for years and years and years. In fact, Shirley and I were at San Francisco one time, San Queer Cisco. And we went down by the wharf, and it's very, very famous. There's one area there where they have these sea lions playing all the time. They're all right in the bay there, San Francisco Bay, at that wharf. And, oh, they're so much fun to watch and listen to them, you know, and jumping up and laying and sunning themselves on this kind of a raft thing they got for them. And there were just hundreds of them, always there. And suddenly, nobody knows why, they all left. And I thought about this, and the Lord was speaking to me about it. I said, there's going to be an earthquake. They know. You know, years ago, that San Francisco earthquake of many years ago, all the animals left. Squirrels, everything was gone before the big one hit. Well, this one struck at sea, 6.5 magnitude. The sea lions were gone. They relocated. I think they went to Oregon somewhere. But they had been there for so many years and years and years. Suddenly they're gone. And yesterday I thought, there's going to be an earthquake. I go on the news this morning, earthquake in San Francisco, 6.5. Amen. A lot of injuries. A lot of people shook up, a lot of damage to buildings. And this is small compared to what's coming. God is going to devastate that city. You watch. It will happen. I think every Christian ought to get out of there. Because it's coming down. And I actually pulled the the news article on that. It tells all about 6.5 quake shakes buildings on California coast. The Barbary Coast, they call it, because they used to call that in the old days. They had so much going on there that was immoral. But anyway, another thing that I ran into when I was looking, and this all ties in with this so well. Everything I'm finding, scriptures jump out of the Bible at me. I was trying to find when the State of the Union message date, what date it would be given. Traditionally, January 20th, when the sun moves along the zodiac into the age of Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius, the 11th sign. That's generally when the speech was given, because they time everything with astrology. So I went on the internet and I started looking to see what was set for a date. Barack Obama said that his choice, when he wanted to do it, was going to be February 2nd, which is the witch's Sabbath. Imalk, also known as Groundhog's Day. But it's a high witch's cross-quarter Sabbath, Imalk. The word Imalk is a Scotch Gaelic word that means in the belly, the first stirrings of the new spring in the womb of Mother Earth. And so that's what the witches believe. And so they got everybody else observing Groundhog's Day, when this little creature, this cute, that poor groundhog, you know, comes crawling out to see if he can see a shadow. See, they want to get everybody involved in this somehow, but it's a witch's Sabbath. And Obama picked that. And then there was a big uproar because they said they would have to preempt a television program called Lost. I thought, how appropriate. Final episode of Lost, preempted by Obama giving a speech. We're all lost, right? All is lost. And there was such a big flare-up about that that he said, well, I can't do that because America will be too mad at me if we preempt Lost. So the day has not yet, at this point in time, has not yet been selected, as far as we know. Now, while I was looking for that date, I came across something I wasn't looking for. In fact, I found an organization I didn't know existed, the Office of Force Readiness and Deployment, U.S. government. I didn't know there was such a thing. Anybody ever heard of that one? All right. The Office of Force Readiness and Deployment, and there was an article, as you go into it, the 2010 State of the Union Address, and here's what it says. The U.S. Capitol Police and Office of the Attending Physicians, through the Assistant Secretary of Preparedness and Response, the ASPR, Office of Preparedness and Emergency Response, has asked the Office of Force Readiness and Deployment, OFRD, looks like somebody wrote Ford that's dyslexic, OFRD, to roster 5 medical strike teams of physicians. 5 medical strike teams of physicians. Nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and registered nurses to provide care for basic life support and advanced cardiac life support incidents during the 2010 State of the Union Address in Washington, D.C. Capital Area Provider Team Number 4 will be working this event, but we will need to augment their team with additional clinical assets from Tier 3, Roster D. In other words, what is he going to say that's going to cause so many people to have the big one? They're asking for all these extra physicians and nurses and physicians' assistants from Tier 3, this whole big roster of them, to be on hand and be prepared for people that have heart attacks. That's what it says. And right away that scripture verse jumped out at me, men's hearts failing them for fear in seeing those things that are coming upon the earth. We can understand that terrible times are upon us. And I don't know exactly what this guy is going to do, Obama, or what he's going to say. But I do know that the real state of the Union as God sees it is not a pretty picture. No matter what he says, what God says is what matters. But I thought it was rather interesting that this division of our government, the Office of Force Readiness and Deployment, is bringing up all these extra doctors and nurses and practitioners to handle heart attacks at the State of the Union message. What will he say? What will people come to realize? They're anticipating something. And time will tell. But you see, right now in our nation, in our land, it's like it was back in the old days in Israel. There is no open vision. People are walking and groping in the darkness. They don't know the Word of God. They have no light. They're not inspired by heaven at all, or any touch from God. It's like it was back there. That makes the Word of God precious, rare. Does the Lord tell us that this would continue to be the case? Well, as he said in verse 8 of Amos 8, "Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drown as by the flood of Egypt." The flood of Egypt. What caused the flood of Egypt? The Nile River, right? Who was born at the base of the Nile River, the headwaters of the Nile River? At Lake Victoria. One Barack Obama. Who was given the title of Pharaoh when he went to Egypt? Barack Hussein Obama. Who was given the medallion of Pharaoh to wear on his neck? Barack Hussein Obama. Born at the headwaters of the White Nile on the shores of Lake Victoria in Africa. He was born there. And 4 days later, see, his mother wanted to go to Hawaii. She wanted to leave there because she didn't like the way the Muslims treated women. So she tried to buy a ticket to go to Hawaii, and she was about to deliver, and the airline wouldn't let her fly at that time. She had the baby in Kenya. After the baby was born, she was able to get the ticket. She flew to Hawaii, immediately went to two different hospitals and registered the baby as being born in Hawaii. But I have a copy of the Kenyan birth certificate. Amen. I have three copies of it, in fact. And they're out there. He was born in Kenya, not Hawaii. She quickly registered him there because she wanted benefits. He is not entitled to be president. He is a communist. He's destroying our country. He's filling up the government with queers and weirdos and anti-God people. And now with the census that's coming out, can you believe this? That our government would spend $340 million just advertising the census? That's not administering it, that's advertising it. That they picked 13 vehicles, big extended vans and trucks, to crisscross the United States with banners on them, trying to drum up support for the census because they said the Department of Commerce no longer has control over it. Rahm Emanuel took it and put it into the White House control. For the first time ever, the Commerce Department is not running the census. The White House is. Numbering the people. And Rahm Emanuel is running the whole show there. And picked 13 vehicles. Funny number, isn't it? To go all through the country. And bought at least two, maybe three Super Bowl spots advertising at $1 million per half minute. Because they're anticipating, and Rahm Emanuel said, we anticipate that 45% of the people are not going to return the census forms. So over in Oshkosh, they hired 1,000 people in Oshkosh just for this region to go door to door, knocking on doors, trying to get people to fill out their, what they call their 10 questions. 340, somebody's making some money. On advertising? On lapel buttons? $340 million on banners? And how much do those trucks cost? Now, that $340 million doesn't cover the workers. This is advertising only. This is media only. So somebody, I wonder who's doing the advertising for them, making all that money. I'll tell you what, these guys, Obama, Rahm Emanuel, these are the guys, they know what's going on. They know where all the dead bodies are. They understand. They are bringing everything down rapidly. This is why we need the Lord. Only God can help us. And so, the Lord said this in verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon and will darken the earth in the clear day. That's when Jesus hung on the cross. That opened the vision to the people of God. There is no open vision in the land, but the people of God have light in their dwellings. Come on. I know what's going on. I know their names. We know all of their names. And we know that one fine day, God is going to judge this. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, watch this now. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. No open vision. Folks, that's the way it is right now. Right now. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he was leaving for the last time, leaving a number of churches that he had helped to establish, but he knew he was going to Rome and he would not return. If you go over to the book of Acts, we'll finish with this. Acts chapter 20. He told how he had preached to them. And he says in verse 28, speaking to all these elders that of the churches, which basically were in homes, there were no big churches in those days. He said in verse 28 of Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We are commanded to preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He's saying there's some among you that are going to rise up and try to start your own thing going, and and speak perverse things. Trouble from within. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. See what the word will do? Build you up. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. An inheritance in the glory of heaven. Folks, the skies are going to open up. Do we have an inheritance there? I have coveted no man's silver or gold. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. He said, I earned my own money. And to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. It was a sad day because Paul said, I know what's going to happen. I can see what's going to happen. The vision is going to close up again. There'll always be those that have the vision. But there's no open vision. It's not everywhere. You go and you seek. People go from church to church sometimes and they can't stand it. There's no word. And so that is, and you know what happens as we looked at in the days of Josiah? If the word is taken away, look how far gone you can degenerate to. You can be so far gone, degenerate to such a low level. We need that word. That word will open your understanding. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he got with his disciples, and it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Paul said, there's always the grievous wolves. They're going to come in. There'll be those from among you that will try to rise up. He's saying, we've had that happen here in the past. You know, and God delivered us from it every time. And I'm really fussy who comes here now. Somebody says, I want to move in there. I want to know them first. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. But we have to always be on our guard and be watchful. Because the vision will close up. In this world, it is closed up. Look around you. Look at the blank expression on the faces. Look at the people that are totally given over to worthless things. They don't know God. They never think of him. God never crosses their mind. The Lord said one time through Jeremiah, my people have forgotten me days without number. But to make chariots for the sun god, to build houses for the Sodomites, our country has had it. It has had it. It's coming down.
Amen.
But we're going up.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So with that thought, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, that we can understand these things. We give thee glory. Let all thy people be blessed and help us now as we worship and as we pray to yield our hearts completely unto thee. Lord, let our vision be opened. Give us wide vision, O Lord, great understanding, and help us, O Lord, to treasure it. Because as it is written in thy word was precious in those days, for there was no open vision. So it is today. Let thy word be precious unto our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Dwayne.